The scripture reading today is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with sounds of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of the Lord.
A second reading is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord. I'd like to tell you a story of some real connection where God appears where sometimes we don't think God will be. This happened in Indiana, about a decade ago. There was Mary and her husband, Jack. They were older, retired, just in their early 70s. And their kids lived on the other side of Indianapolis and with their grandkids, three grandkids. And it was one of those years where it started snowing and snowing and snowing, just as if this rain was coming. It was colder, be snowing and snowing and snowing. In fact, it snowed a lot. So Jack and Mary sat around the kitchen table. It was Christmas Eve, and Mary got off the phone, and she came into the kitchen. She said, honey, the snow is just too much. The kids, they can't come. It's just going to be us for Christmas this year. Well, this is the first time that they've been without their kids for Christmas. And Jack sort of sighs, and Jack has not been really himself lately. He's an old ham radio operator. He'd been in the Navy, and he'd run the radio system to connect back to headquarters and the ships and out into the battlefield. And he took that up, and when he retired, he built himself a little ham radio, and QRZ was his code. That was the name of his little station, and he would connect with a bunch of friends all over the place and stay in touch with them. You know, we know December 7th just went by, anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and our World War II vets are getting less and less, and so they stay in touch with each other. And Jack hadn't really been using his ham radio. It just sort of sat there unused. And And Mary was getting really concerned about this because that wasn't like him. And he had a few health problems, and that it had really slowed him down. So she had called the kids, and they were going to do something really special for Christmas, but now they couldn't come. So they had a turkey sandwich, because that's all they felt like eating. And Mary wrapped a few more presents, and she said she's going to sit in front of the TV for a while. And Jack said, I'm just going to go up to my Radio Shack, which was above the garage. So she gave him a cup of coffee, a slice of pie, and up he went. And she thought to herself, well, maybe it's not Christmas, but maybe it's time. And so she lugged up this big box, and in it was a new FM kit to be able to put together. And he said, well, okay. And she left, and he opened the box, and he looked around. And this was something that was really bought with care. The kids had gotten together with his friends around town that had radio, the little radio club, and they picked out this one. And he looked at it, and, well, he thought he'd take out the parts and just put them out on the table. And so he did that. He looked at directions, and before long, it was about midnight, and he had had about half the set together. About 1 o'clock, he finished it. It wasn't really that hard to put together. And so he said, this is never going to work. You know, I'm never going to be able with this FM. He was a real diehard with the shortwave, longwave radios. So he flicked it on, and boom, out it came. So he thought, I'll just see if anybody's out there. And he went out, did his call number, and sure enough, somebody picked up. It was someone from Kansas. It was an old Navy guy. He didn't know him, but they chatted for about an hour. And then he went on and he found someone who had been, you know, a woman who had served, and they chatted because they knew some people that they both had known in the Navy. And she chatted with her for about an hour. And he thought, well, it's really getting late. I really have to get back to bed. Yeah. And so he just thought, well, I'll just put my call out one more time. And in came this, he heard this signal. He moved it around, picked it up, put out his call, and he got the voice back. Hey, amigo, it's Miguel. I thought you died or something. What happened to you? You know, I haven't heard you for months. It was his old friend Miguel from Mexico, who he had chatted with every week. By this time, the snow has really come up to the bottom of the windowsills. And he and Miguel reminisce and talk. And as the dawn comes on Christmas Day, Jack is hard at work working with the other ham radio operators, figuring out who has lost power, who needs to be shoveled out, are there any emergencies, and directing the first responders as they come through. He comes back down, and Mary says, you're up early. And he didn't want to tell her that he'd been like a teenager up all night playing with his new toy. But he said, yeah, I just thought I'd get up early. It was a good Christmas. No, the kids weren't there, but they're going to be coming the next day, later that night if they could. And it was a good Christmas. He gave her a bread maker machine that she had always wanted. And then he said, I think I'm going to go back up and see what's going on. And Mary was like, sometimes it's just that little bit of thoughtfulness, that little bit of connecting with each other that makes the big difference. That's why this church is important. You're really good at connecting with each other and with new people that come. I had three people come up and tell me where Mary Bird was and what had happened to her and how she had broken her patella. And you're really good at taking care of each other. It's a really tough world out there. We have people who are living alone. More and more seniors are living alone, and they just don't have no connection. You know, when I go in sometimes, especially when I was younger and in Florida, and everyone in the entire state was older than I was, it seemed, and I'd go into some of the assisted living and stuff, I would have people, and they wouldn't let go of my hand because no one had touched them. No one had hugged them. No one had shaken their hand. That's why God came down, and everything that could fit into a human being life came down so that there was a face, there was a hand, there was a voice that we could see. And God says, you do that too. I've given you an example for you to follow. Certainly as the disciple, you are not greater than the master, he says. Do as I do. So every time that you go out and pick up somebody's garbage can that is blown across the street, every time that you bring in their mail when they're gone, every time you watch their dog or say hello and ask their little kid how old she is and, you know, isn't this wonderful and what grade you're in, every time you talk to the lonely person in the checkout counter or to the cashier as if they're a real human being, every time you give money so that people can have clean water or something to eat, every time you welcome a stranger into this church or into your community, that is God's love. That is the magical Merry Christmas connection. And that's why this church is so important. We're good at this. We need to bring people in. They need our love and the love of God. And they need to be taught that there is a more excellent way to go about in this world. You can't depend that they're going to learn it on TV or on the internet or anywhere else or even in their own homes. That's why it's important to bring people in here and other churches, because I can tell you, you've got it. And it's something we got to keep going. Amen.